The Steve Cochran Show.
Ridiculous.
What's going on there, Buttercup? What's going on there, Cowboy? Sparky, Cowboy. Sparky, Cowboy. Dog. What's going on there, Sparkles? Romeo. Dog. Buttercup. Romeo. Buttercup.
Cap's Corner with David Kaplan.
Well, look who finally came to his senses and came home.
Nice to
prodigal,
see all of you.
The prodigal Cap, as he wandered the streets, has finally found his way home. You know, Cap, you probably don't know this, but when we decide who goes into the Walk of Fame, there's secret meetings. You go in this hooded garb, and you talk for a long time. There could be some pharmaceuticals involved. And eventually, multicolored smoke rises from the chimney, and the names are revealed. You're in, baby.
Well, it's pretty
You're
funny.
In the Walk of Fame.
I was on it's great to be with you guys. I was on vacation, and I got this phone call from Todd Manley, the great station manager. Call me back. I got to talk to you. I call him back and get voicemail. Calls me back. I'm here with Dave Ennett, and I don't know if you know, we got the White Sox games, and we'd like to know if you'd like to be the voice of the team. And I said, yeah, you're a funny guy.
Right.
And then he told me the great news.
That's funny.
Pretty
I didn't
awesome.
Know that. Congratulations.
Thanks.
So let's go backwards
much.
Here. How'd you get the job at GN?
Got hired in 1995. I was at the Cubs convention meeting with Tom Brenneman, who was my basketball play-by-play partner.
Mm-hmm.
And this woman walked up to talk to Tom, and he goes, well, meet my friend, David Kaplan. And so I meet Tisa Lasort, the greatest. Absolutely adore that woman. And she said, oh, you're over at AM 1000.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be interested in talking to me about my sports job because Chuck Swirsky just left? I said, absolutely. WGN, I grew up listening to the station.
Right. I will screw AM 1000 in a New York minute for the right job.
Out. And so I interviewed with her the next week, and like 6 weeks later, I got this phone call, and I got hired, and I was there.
By the way, Swirsky's going to be in studio next week. Here's the thing about GN, and you know this, because when we were all competing with WGN through most of the 90s, it was like, ugh. Well, the old people station, oh, they're so backward. GN was so far ahead of the curve in promoting women into management positions. And Tisa was one of them, Lorna Gladstone, Mary June Rose.
Marilyn Miller.
And Marilyn Miller before all of them when she was Wally's producer.
Yep.
All right, so you get hired. When did you team up with Tom Waddle?
1997, the great Dave Ennett and Mary June Rose said, all right, we're going to do a sports talk show. And they had at that time.
Hey, what was on a night before that?
What was it? Roy Leonard.
The
late Roy Leonard was doing nights. He was doing like a split shift. And the great Dave Ennett had to go meet with Andy McPhail. You and Mary June had to talk to Andy McPhail to make sure the Cubs were cool with sports talk.
I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, you've been to a lot of meetings.
And Andy had to give his blessing. Yeah.
So you and Waddle hit pretty fast.
It worked out well.
Yeah.
Tommy's
okay, first of all, neither of them wanted to work with each other.
Is that true?
Let's just put that out there.
Oh, I didn't know that. You didn't want to work with Waddle?
No, I did. Well, I don't know if Waddle wanted to work with me. I was this...
you were lukewarm.
This but, renegade.
Well, why wouldn't you want to work with Waddle?
I didn't
You just didn't
any,
want to do a team show?
No, I didn't have any problem
because,
with
because
I
your
think
ego?
He's making that up.
So wait, that's not true then.
I loved Tom Waddle.
Yeah.
No. No, they were great.
But it took to get to know each other.
At first we tried out some different people and just kind of those guys hit it off.
Right.
So it made sense.
It worked. And the funny thing is, so when I was first at AM 1000, I wanted Dave Wannstedt to come on my show. I was working 11 at night till 2 in the morning and then I got moved to middays. And at 11 at night, I thought, I got to get Dave Wannstedt on this show. And I called Brian Harlan. Love Brian. Mm-hmm. He's a big agent now, but he was the PR director of the Bears at the time.
Right.
Brian, can I get Dave Wannstedt? No chance. No shot. Not going to happen. I'm like, come on, man. It's 11 o'clock. There's this big article. He sleeps in the office. Just have him call in. No. So I'm like, screw this. I'm going to drive up to Lake Forest myself. I drive up as I'm coming into town. There's Dave Wannstedt on his walk every day at 12:30. So I pull my car over, and I literally accost him on the street. Coach, you got to come on my show, man. I'll make you look good, blah, 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 blah. I get back. He goes and rats me out to Brian Harlan, who airs me out. Tisa, doing her due diligence before she hired me, calls the Cubs. Do you have any problems with David Kaplan? No. White Sox, Bulls, Blackhawks. Calls
Bears, not so much.
Brian Harlan goes, you cannot hire him. He completely went behind my back after I told him no. And she said, God bless her. That means I'm going to hire him.
Right. Right.
And then I had to go to lunch with him and clear the air, and now we'll get on.
Well, but here's the deal. We have had this for a long time, and you remember these days, where people would go, oh, the Cubs tell you guys what to say.
Never.
Never happened. Never happened. The Cubs, when the Bears were on the station, the Northwestern folks, nobody gives you editorial content on the station.
Never. Not
never has, never 22 will.
22 years.
So, all right, I want you to give me a few of your favorite moments when we come back. One of mine, of course, was the Mancathlon.
Yes.
Where Cap and I had 10 events to prove how manly we were.
One of them was driving back from Kemper Lakes Golf Course. Who could get here faster?
As fast as we
Mary
could.
Mary Jo was going to have a stroke.
I remember when it was. You
guys were calling in. We did it live on
you
air.
Guys were drinking as much water as you possibly could.
That was
could.
With Spike.
No, that was us.
Did
Mel.
We do that too?
No, that was us.
Like how much
that
water you could drink before.
And then some lady in Michigan on the air died from it. And they went, that's
right.
it.
That was a terrible idea.
Like, see, so try that today.
No shot.
And it's typical of this place. Oh. You walk out of the studio here in the famous bathroom outside of which I was fired once.
I remember that day.
Yeah. I walk out, and we had both consumed literally about 20 bottles of water. Mm-hmm. You caved first. God bless you. And you ran. So you're across the newsroom. You used to have to go all the way to the back of the tower and cross the newsroom to get into these bathrooms. But there's a bathroom right here outside the Showcase studio. 20 bottles of water later, I walk out. Somebody's in there reading a paper.
That was unbelievable.
Not good. David Kemp.
I set the smoke detector off, and now the alarm system went off.
I tell you what, this is going to keep you from the Food Network show you're clearly auditioning for.
Code is Studley. Code is Studley. We're fine.
That was for a period of time before the geniuses in management somewhere told Cap he couldn't come on this show anymore. When I was readily, as your friend, promoting your own other radio show and had you on talking sports every day.
No question about it.
So,
no doubt.
David Kaplan, NBC Sportsnet, every night at what time?
Usually 6 o'clock to 7, unless we have a game, then 6 to 7, 6 to 6:30.
Cough button.
Cough button. Thank you.
Yeah. I know you're new to studios. And on the radio, what time?
9 to noon on ESPN 1000.
And what time? When do you have the famous husband of Mary Sandbrook?
He is on with me every Monday and most Thursdays. And
that's Pat Boyle.
Pat Boyle from NBC Sports Chicago.
Okay.
The sure Blackhawks star.
At 7:25, I always give everybody a chance to go around the room and talk to the people that are going in, including your fellow inductee, Mary Vandeveld. You got a Cap memory you want to throw at him, or did you just want to congratulate
Mary,
him?
Congratulations to you. You're the greatest.
Oh, you are too. I'm so excited. We're going to be up there together.
Yeah, look forward to it.
It's very fun. It's what did you do when the Cubs were in that losing streak? Weren't you in a trailer or something?
Yes, they were 0-14. So at 0-6, I went to Mary June Rose and Randy Eccles. I said, "Hey, I got an idea here. Why don't I take the WGN fan van up to Wrigley, park it in the McDonald's parking lot, and live in the van till they win a game?"
This is so not the way it happened.
Yeah, give me the truth. What happened?
I get a call from Cap. It's about 5:30, 6 o'clock at night.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think, yeah, they were probably 0-6 or whatever.
They were 0-6.
And he says, "I think I just made a big mistake. I just said on the air I would live in the fan van until the Cubs win." I said, do you think there's any way out of it? I said, "I don't think so, Cap. You just said it on the air."
And that's how and you ended up.
And
on
then
it.
I went to Waddle. I said, "Okay, we're moving. We're taking the fan van up there, and we're going to live in it till they win." And he said, "You're going to do what?"
Yeah, he went home.
Yeah, 8 days later, I was still in the van.
They won on the 15th game.
They finally were 0-14 and they won their 15th.
Where did you shower?
A friend of mine owned a rooftop building, so I took like 3 showers a day because I had nothing to do.
The best was he was on the Tom Snyder Tomorrow Show. I'll never forget that, right?
That's right.
They broadcast the redo in this
live from the parking lot at the McDonald's, and they hired a model to deliver steak and lobster to me.
Oh, that's nice.
Apt brought a TV. ComEd wired it into one of the light poles. And then Walter E. Smith brought me an Oriental rug and a recliner.
And you just sat in there all day waiting for the show to start.
That was it.
Good times. Andrea, you worked with this guy for a while.
I did. I worked with Cap from 97 to 05 on Sports Central doing the news. We had so much fun. My favorites, Dr. Stupid, Theme Sports, and Ear Candy Corner.
Ear Candy Corner was the greatest. I got to bring that bit back. It was so amazing. Well,
that's intellectual property of WG.
Yeah, you have to change the name of it.
We had real quick story. The funniest. I have never. We were talking about this off the air. I've never seen you angry ever. You're always so happy. Just that one time, which we won't talk about. But no, we had so much fun. So I was at like a church rummage sale when I first started with you guys, and this woman came up to me with a brown paper bag, and inside was an old Tom Waddle jersey. It was all bundled up in a ball. Remember this?
Yeah, I do.
So I showed you, and you're like, oh, you got to give that to Waddle on the air. She wanted him to sign it. So he said, where'd you find this? It was just this old, crumpled up jersey. And I said, oh, at the church rummage sale, this lady said she bought it for $2. And you said, she got ripped off.
It's just overpaid.
She overpaid. We had so much fun, Cap. I love you, and it's just always been a pleasure working with you.
You too.
All right, so Dave, you've kind of been fact-checking Cap throughout his story time here. Is there anything else you would like to add?
No, I just, as we get ready to leave this building here in a few weeks, my fondest memories, and I use that term loosely, walking into the sports office in the morning down the hall here, which sure. Now Howls and Hoods,
yeah.
And I would come in there, and Cap and Waddle and whoever was producing the show at the time, they would play this game they invented called Office Ball.
Oh, yes. That's right.
Which basically was baseball in about a 12 by 12 foot area.
With a real bat and then crumpled up newspaper with duct tape around it, gray duct tape.
And fast pitch.
Uh-huh. They found a clock. I think Dave Marzullo found it. Like you would find in an old high school gym.
Yep.
With a click. And a wire
with the metal
rim around
the cage on it.
Yeah.
Because we shattered the clock.
Right.
It broke everything in the office.
And then he didn't even tell you. Waddle and I one night came in. His door wasn't locked. He had this little office, so we rearranged all the furniture. I mean, the entire office. And he opened the door in the morning and went, whoa!
Hey, you remember the kidnapping of Buddy Big League?
Yes.
You kids keep in mind, this is how you prep for a major sports career.
Right.
I love you, buddy. You know,
I love you.
And I couldn't be more excited for your success, and your family's great, and I hope they all show up next Friday when we do this.
We look forward to all being there. Dan Filato is flying in from New York.
Oh, that's great.
God. The stories with you and Filato.
Oh my God. So,
Did he good work times. Here? Or we use the term work loosely, right?
Very loosely.
Yeah, Flotto was here.
Flotto
saw Mark Grace do things that Grace wasn't even charged with.
Look,
Jewel and Treasure Island in business.
He did. Almost 22 years, some of the greatest memories of my life are right here with you guys.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah, well, absolutely. We're going to have fun next week, too.
Look forward to it.
Best of the family, and reconsider that Grand Canyon trip you have coming up.
Yeah, rim to rim, we're going to hike. My wife and I, 2 weeks from Monday.
Nice.
I just don't think a guy 6 months older than me should kill himself in the Grand Canyon on a vacation. I'm just worried about you, that's all.
I thought you were older than me.
Oh, yeah, see, that's part of the problem. You're slipping. The great David Kaplan in the Walk of Fame. Next Friday, we do the induction, and enjoy the rest of your day, buddy.
You too.